Good morning. Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, our risen Lord Jesus Christ. He is risen. Amen. Hallelujah. Our sermon text for this Resurrection Sunday will be from Mark's Gospel, from the 16th chapter, verses 1 through 8. We'll read the resurrection account in the name of our Lord. I'd ask that you'd please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Amen. Please be seated. These are your words, gracious Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is everlasting truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. We're here to celebrate this event that changed forever the trajectory of the entire world. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I couldn't help but notice as we were gathered on Thursday, on Maundy Thursday, and on Good Friday, and as Pastor Jesse was preaching to us and retelling this account of the suffering and the death of Jesus, that there was a feeling that pervaded the air, something like the feeling of a funeral, because that's what we were talking about. There was a sober reflection on the reality of death. I even had someone come up to me after, and they asked me, they said, is something wrong? Are you okay? And I don't think there was anything wrong, but I was kind of touched by the feeling of this reality, of the death of Jesus Christ. A feeling that we've all been touched with at some point in our life. Maybe when we've been to a funeral, when we've been to the funeral of a loved one or something like that. And we're all too familiar with this feeling. This reality is something that we've been conditioned to accept as a reality as we live in this world. We say things like, "The only two things are most certain in life are what? Death and taxes." Exactly. We just accept that as a reality and embrace it. Well, today we're here to celebrate the very opposite thing. Today we don't have black paraments on the altar. We don't have a black banner there. Today we have white. Today we have living plants on the altar. We're here for a celebration. We're celebrating something amazing. Imagine being at a funeral and your deceased loved one is laying in their casket and their eyes open up and they sit up and they climb out. What kind of a joy would that be? What kind of celebration party would you have? I'm serious. Like, would you go home and I'm sure you'd call everyone you knew and you would say, they're alive again. This isn't some sick fantasy that I came up with. That's what we're here for. Jesus came back to life. Jesus rose from the dead. He came back to life. Our text tells us that when the Sabbath was passed, that's when Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, these three women, came to the tomb. It's no coincidence that they came there on the Sabbath day. It's no coincidence that Jesus lay in his tomb on the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day, if you recall, in the creation account, the Sabbath day was the seventh day. That was the day that God rested from all his work of creating the world. Well, Jesus is God. Jesus rested on the Sabbath day. He rested from his work. And what was his work? The work on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, what did he say? He said, "It is finished. My work is done." And then he rested. A rest that was temporary. Death was temporary for Jesus because his work was done, the work he did on the cross. So these three women come to the tomb. There's Mary Magdalene is the first one that's mentioned. And I want to highlight this fact, that Mary Magdalene is the first one that's mentioned. Because she was the woman that had seven demons in her. That Jesus cast out seven demons. What that tells us is she was a complete sinner. She's the first one that's mentioned. She's the first one that Jesus appeared to. If this doesn't tell us that Jesus wants this message to be for sinners, then I don't know what does. Doesn't matter who you are today. This message is for you. If you're a Mary Magdalene, this message is first for you. Jesus is risen from the dead. He died on the cross for you. His work that he accomplished was totally complete. And he rose victorious over your death. So these three women come to the tomb and they bring like funeral type stuff. They bring spices to anoint the body of Jesus, which is a custom that was pretty common in that day. We see that Joseph of Arimathea, the one who had taken the body down from the cross with Nicodemus, he had already anointed Jesus' body. Well, these women come to do the same thing. They have no clue that they're going to an unfuneral, the opposite of a funeral, the opposite of death. They're going to actually witness the fact that Jesus is not dead anymore. But they don't know it quite yet. And they'll find out very, very soon. And so we're told that they go very early in the morning to the tomb. This shows their love that they had for Jesus, their master. They go to the tomb to pay their last respects, what they think will be their last respects to Jesus. And boy, are they in for a surprise. We're also told that it was the first day of the week. And these details that sometimes they seem maybe like they're insignificant, there is great significance in them. The fact that it's the first day of the week, because this is the dawning of a new day, and it's the dawning of a new era. They're entering into a new week. It's the dawning of a new era. The era where Jesus Christ has conquered death. Probably all of us have, this past week, have heard the name Francis Scott Key. Does anyone know who that is? I think we're probably all pretty familiar with who he is. He was the author of our national anthem. The reason we've heard about him this week is because unless you live under a rock, you probably heard that a bridge in Baltimore that bore his name collapsed. Well, Francis Scott Key is the author of our national anthem, and there's an interesting story that goes along with the writing, the inspiration of our national anthem. The anthem was titled The Defense of Fort McHenry. And Francis Scott Key wrote that and was inspired to write that as he was out in Baltimore Harbor, not far from where that bridge collapsed. And he was looking at Fort McHenry. And Fort McHenry was being attacked by the British. This is during the War of 1812. And he's watching them bombard the fort overnight. It was a 25-hour bombardment. And he caught a glimpse of the flag by the twilight's last gleaming at evening time, just like the anthem says. And he saw that flag was flying over there at the last light. And that bombardment continued through the night. And then, by the dawn's early light, oh say, can you see by the dawn's early light? He was anxious to see in the morning if that flag was still flying over the fort in the morning. In other words, did the fort get overtaken by the bombardment? Had the fort survived? Did they emerge victorious from the bombardment? And they did. The flag was still flying in the morning. The story is similar to what the story of the resurrection here. It's the dawning of a new day. The women come to the tomb, and they find that the bombardment of death and sin on Jesus Christ and on the whole human race, the bombardment's over. Jesus emerged victorious. Jesus isn't in his grave. He has conquered over death. The battle is over. Early that morning, as the women were approaching the tomb, they're having this discussion on the way there about one rather big obstacle that's in their way, and that's a big stone. The stone that the Jews wanted to be placed over the tomb, and so Pilate had the soldiers and the people place a big, huge stone over the tomb. They wanted this thing to be secure, that Jesus would be secure in that tomb and that nobody would come and take his body or anything like that. And so the women are wondering, who will take the stone away? There isn't anything that portrays death quite as much as a stone does. We use the term sometimes stone dead. If something is stone dead, we're talking that's very dead. I mean, that's as dead as you can get. So stones, they kind of depict death. Jesus' resurrection moved death. It moved that stone. The obstacle that's in our way is death, and Jesus completely took it away. So now we can say with Apostle Paul, oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He has conquered death. Another thing about stones that is interesting is stones they portray like permanence. When you want something to be there forever, you make it out of stone. If you look at the oldest buildings in the world, they're made out of stone or masonry of some sort. If you want something, some kind of writing to last, like on a tombstone or something like that, you have it engraved in stone, because stone is a permanent thing, we figure, until Jesus comes along. Jesus rolled the stone away. As Jesus, he rose from the dead, as those angels were coming down, we're told that there was an earthquake and the stone rolled away. the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead caused this. So that now the thing that's permanent is not the reality of death. The thing that's permanent is the resurrection. The resurrection is permanent. Paul says in Romans chapter 6 that we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him or power. Death has no power over him because the resurrection is a permanent reality. So since the stone is moved away, these women, they come to the tomb and they would have full access to the tomb now because they see as they're a little ways away, they look up and oh, the stone's moved away. And they figure they would be able to get into the tomb. But as they're entering the tomb, they see something that's very disturbing to them. They see a man dressed in white sitting off on the right side, we're told. This was an angel. And I'll remind you what an angel is. An angel is a messenger. That's what the word means, a messenger. And what does the messenger do? Well, he gives them a message. He gives them a message from heaven, and he tells them, he says, do not be alarmed. Don't be afraid. You're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. This is how God deals with us. You know, he knows what we're up to. The woman didn't even have to tell the angel, like what they're doing there. The angel knew already. See, that's how it is. God knows everything. Even before we can tell him what our problem is or what it is that we need, God already knows. And so that's why the angel, he knew. He said, you're looking for Jesus. He has risen. He's not here, was the message. He has risen. As I was preparing for this message this week, I had the opportunity, had a little bit of extra time this week, and so I had the opportunity to listen through most of the New Testament to see what the Bible actually says about those three words. He is risen. Which, by the way, something I would highly recommend. Listen to the New Testament especially, or read it, or whatever your method is, and look for those words. Look for what the New Testament says about the resurrection. It's amazing. It's amazing. When you read through the New Testament with an eye towards the resurrection, it becomes strikingly obvious that everything rests on the resurrection. Everything rests on those three words. He has risen. That's what the whole thing is based on. The power of those words changed the disciples from cowards to martyrs. From cowards hiding in this room, afraid of everything, to martyrs for the faith, willing to go out and give their own life for the sake of the gospel. That's the power of the resurrection that did that. When the New Testament talks about the resurrection, it says things like power of an indestructible life, eternal glory, living hope, imperishable inheritance, new creation, life-giving spirit. It says that immortality is swallowed up of life. It says that he is alive forevermore. He is not here. He has risen. See the place where they laid him. Jesus isn't at the grave. Jesus doesn't give the grave that kind of a status. to be found there anymore even. And you know something? Jesus doesn't allow us to either. The New Testament doesn't even call it death. I was getting ready to call it death. But the New Testament doesn't call it death. It just says they fell asleep. They have fallen asleep. We heard that in our scripture reading this morning. They have fallen asleep. That's all it calls it. Because death is not a permanent thing. Death has been conquered by Jesus Christ. That's why cemetery, very familiar word. We know that's like the graveyard. Cemetery. The meaning of cemetery is sleeping place. It's the place where people are sleeping. Because if they're sleeping, if someone's sleeping, it means they can wake up. They'll wake up. When Jesus comes, it's going to be called morning time. A lot of times you'll hear that. The resurrection morning, it's called. That's because Jesus will come down, he'll open the graves, and he'll tell everyone who's in the graves, sleeping, he'll tell them, you've slept long enough, time to get up. He'll wake us up because Jesus has power over death. He's conquered it. So now we just call it sleeping. We're sleeping in Jesus Christ. So these angels, they tell the three women, they said, go tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. Peter is singled out, which is an amazing thing, because if you recall the story of when Jesus was arrested, Peter denied Jesus. He denied that he knew him. And he was weeping. He was very, very sorrowful about that. He was having a hard time. And this angel, God's messenger, tells the women to go tell the disciples, and then singles out Peter and says, and Peter. God cares about us. God cares God knows when we need special encouragement. And that's what they're told to go give Peter. Give this special message to Peter. And the other thing that's interesting about this is the women. The women are the first evangelists. Sometimes we don't realize that. They're the first ones who will actually give the message of the resurrection. You know, it was a woman who took the fruit from the tree that the serpent had enticed her with, and she gave it to Adam. Well, the restoration of that whole thing comes to the woman first, too. And how fitting that is. So the women are the first ones, and they're told to go tell the news, which is what we're still doing. We're still announcing this. We're still celebrating this, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And we're told that they went out from the tomb and they fled, for trembling and astonishment was gripping them. And this was like kind of interesting that we stopped here. I was wondering, like, well, we're stopping here when they're, like, it seems like kind of a downer, like, oh, they're all scared and they're running away. But I think Mark does this for a very good reason. He's showing us the human side of this thing. And these women they're basically scared to death. They're dumbfounded. They can't even speak. They don't even tell anyone right away because of, like, this is crazy. We just saw an angel, and Jesus is in his grave, and, you know, the whole human aspect of this thing. This speaks to how we deal with resurrection. Hebrews tells us that Jesus delivered those who were through fear of death subject to lifelong slavery. This is the natural human reaction that these women are doing. We don't know how to deal with resurrection. We don't go to unfunerals. We go to funerals. We're used to that. It's like our reality that we're programmed to. We don't even know another way to think. You hear stories of people that spend most of their life in prison, and if they're let out, they have a hard time, like, you know, getting back into society. And in some cases, they'll actually go commit a crime so they can get back to prison. They don't know how to deal with freedom. They don't know how to deal with being not in prison anymore. It's the same way with us, with death. God has to continually, like, reintroduce us and assimilate us to the idea of life, eternal life, that we're alive forever. We live forever. Death isn't this thing that has dominion over us anymore. And that's what we call faith, is being brought to this understanding that we are alive. We're alive in Jesus Christ. We have eternal life. Death isn't a thing that we need to fear. It's not a slave master over us. We don't need to fear this. So we can say that whatever comes along, as Christians, we have this understanding of the resurrection, that Jesus Christ raised from the dead, he's alive forever, and so are we. So whatever comes along in life, whether it's bridges collapse and people die, diseases maybe afflict us, or a loved one, could be a natural disaster. These are all things that are very much around us. Or it could be political powers, tyrannical governments, war, or death itself. We are to understand that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, through his resurrection. That's how we face life. That's how we face everything life brings at us. We face it in the resurrection. We face it understanding that Jesus has conquered all this stuff. Jesus delivers us from this. And in the end, we win. We win. We have eternal life. We're alive forever in Jesus Christ. So happy Easter. He is risen. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the glorious message of the resurrection. Lord, as we go from here, in our moments of doubt, in our moments of fear, in our moments of darkness, cause this glorious message of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, cause it to shine brightly and to give us eternal hope. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Now receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.